Welcome to HQ Wave Radio. I'm Francis.
And I'm Alana. And this is a show about two
best friends. Hi, everyone. Alana and I are on a break this week. We'll be posting a new episode on July 14th. In the meantime, enjoy this remastered of our Viva España episode.
Welcome to HQ Wave Radio. My name's Alana.
And I'm Francis. And we're best friends.
In the United States of America.
Yes, we are.
Are we not?
Congratulations.
Yeah, if you couldn't already tell, we're Americans. But that being said, some of us weren't in the United States of America for a bit of time.
That's right. I was in Europe for the past 2 weeks.
Your first time in Europe, right?
My very first time. I went for business, but then I spent another week for pleasure.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it was a lot of fun, Alana. I can't wait to dedicate this entire episode to my travels.
I know. I can't wait to hear it. So I've been dying to hear all about Francis's trip, and he keeps telling me, no, Alana, it's for the radio show.
For you guys. This is for you seven listeners out there. Like,
so you're hearing it for the first time ever, folks, live on a recording, Francis's trip that I've been dying to hear. So get ready. So, Francis, what can you tell us about your trip to Spain?
It was pretty good. I was actually feeling very nervous because this was the first part of my trip, and I had never been to Europe. I never traveled by myself before. So the business part, I was, you know, like with people that I knew, but, you know, for the most part, though, I had never traveled by myself to a foreign country where the main language was in English. So yeah. I was nervous on the plane ride over. I was like very antsy and, you know, just kind of unsure of how this entire trip was going to be like. And actually, like, even just getting to the Canary Islands was, which is where I was at, took me a day and a half. So I left on the 8th. I didn't get to my destination until the night of the 9th.
Wow.
Yeah. And the plane ride getting to the island was horrific. I was on a discount airline. I'm not going to name names. But
it was this airline.
It was this particular airline that it was one of the worst airlines I've been on. And as we're getting to the island, there's a moment where the plane literally maybe like falls like a few inches, and you know that moment when you're on a roller coaster and you're at the very top and you're about to go down and you're weightless, like
your guts fly up into your throat.
Yeah,
oh my God.
We all had that feeling, and I think you could tell, like, if you took a survey of all the people on the planes, which ones were kids and which ones were like old people, because like the kids were like, whoa, and I'm here, and the old man next to me is like gripping onto the seat like, oh my fucking God. I don't want to die.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I honestly had a lot of moments like that. I mean, not just
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I know, like, be prepared. Like,
Oh my God.
I will admit, like, the first week of me getting there was kind of stressful. Yeah. Partly because it was business, and, you know, I was doing some work and trying to get other things done. But a little bit of it is like trying to get adjusted to this new place, this new culture, this new kind of scenery for me, and not being able to speak my native language, you know, to people. So,
Man, so Francis, language barrier must have been something that came up or was an issue during your trip.
My sister had given me this tip where if I needed help with anything, the people that I should really seek out are the younger Europeans, especially the ones that either might work in the service industry or are white-collared workers, just because, you know, like, based off of their job, they might be more exposed to English.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, her tip was pretty much spot on because, you know, like, they're, for the first day or two, I had to take a taxi to get to work. And, you know, like, some of the people that I talked to, like, the taxi drivers didn't know, like, a lick of English. But, you know, my hotel concierge and the clerks had better grasp of the English language. So that was pretty good. But speaking of which, I, after the second day of just being at the Canary Islands, I decided I can't do this whole taxi cab thing from the hotel to the office
yeah. place where you
yeah I was like whatever I was like trying to think if it was an office, but it really wasn't. I was just like at a
building
just like at a satellite building. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like literally a building with a satellite right next to it, and that was it. It's hard to call it an office, but so I go to the airport and I get this rental car, and the thing about driving in Spain is that all of the road markings are white. Like, there's no, you know, here in America, you have, like, different, like, there's yellow and then there's white.
And the, blue, you know, for handicap or something like that. There's,
right, there's different colors. But in Spain, I think, I don't know if it's particular to the Canary Islands, but in Spain, it's all just white.
Yeah.
And so there's no way to tell what the different lanes are. I think you just kind of drive on the one side of the road.
Oh my god.
And so I had my GPS on and I was navigating to a particular place, and it tells me that in a few kilometers I have to make this right turn. You know, like, get off to the ramp and go right. And I'm used to sort of just hearing the warning on my GPS and maybe following it like a few, like, maybe half a mile down the way.
Yeah.
And just kind of ignoring it because sometimes there's a turn that might not be the turn that you want beforehand.
Right.
And so I am still in that mindset. I'm still in that American mindset. And I accidentally turn into the wrong lane. Like, I switch lanes into oncoming traffic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And luckily for me, I was going pretty slow. I was going like 40 kilometers an hour, which is about 25 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And there's no oncoming traffic yet. So I pass this arrow and I realize my mistake, and I immediately like flip into reverse, and there's like somebody coming on my way, and I was like, hitting the thing. And luckily the person that was behind me like saw what I had done and stopped to let me do, you know, like to let me get into the right lane. And I get into the right lane and my heart's just beating, and I like, oh my god, I had such a close experience. I like, the only thing that I could think of was like, if I died here in a foreign country, what would happen to me? Like, I'm freaking out right now. And I just kept driving to my next place.
Thank god you didn't tell me. I would have been worried freaking sick.
I know, like, I told Chris I couldn't tell him until after, like, after he's done.
Yeah, jeez. Oh my god, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
And also, if you had died, who would have told me? Oh my god,
Chris.
No. Well, I'm really happy that you're safe. Also that I didn't find this out till now, because I would have been worried shitless just the entire time you were gone.
Yeah, good one.
So, Francis, while you were in Spain, like, did you get to see any cool sights? Did you get to go to the beach? I mean,
yes. Come on. Yeah, so after work was done, I got a chance to go and explore the island. I was on Gran Canaria, and apparently, like, they're, so it's one of the biggest islands of the Canary Islands, and it's known for being a party island, but also, like, a lot of retired Europeans come down there, you know, during the winter to enjoy some of the sun. Yeah, and so I just got to travel around. I got to see Maspalomas, which is, I think, one of the party cities of the island. And then I went to Las Palmas, which I think is one of the more retiree towns of the island. And so, like, after seeing those two cities, I wanted to go see a little bit more of the naturey side. So I took a scenic route to get to my other place, to another place I wanted to go to. And the route took me along this cliffside, right along the beach. So, like, it's a rocky kind of beach, if you can imagine. And you're just driving along, and it curves a little. There's a point where I stopped at the site where there's this historical site where there's ruins of like an old house. And wow. So I thought, okay, cool, let me go check it out. I park off the side of the road and I go down and I climb down the side of the cliff to get to these ruins. And like when I say ruins, I'm not talking like the Acropolis or a Colosseum. It's literally just a couple of rocks off to the side that's guarded, like fenced off. So it wasn't as impressive as it sounds.
Yeah.
But what I did notice was that, like, on my way down, there was some guy that was coming up, and he was shirtless, and he had spoken to me in Spanish, but I didn't understand what he's saying. So I was like, okay, just keep walking and hope, like, I'm not doing anything wrong. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, that's kind of weird. Like, why is this shirtless guy, like, going up? You know, like, there's nothing to be shirtless about, and I guess we're on an island, but whatever. But then I realized, like, I didn't see him come back down, and so it was like, he wasn't carrying anything with him, and I didn't hear a car drive away.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, okay, well, that's just kind of weird. After I look at the ruins, I decide to go and just walk along the cliffside, because there are trails that are kind of like, I wouldn't say dug in, but they're worn in by, obviously, like, people are also exploring this area. So I figure, why not? I come in, and there's this, I come down to the seaside, and there's this stretch of rocky beach. And I notice off to my left that there is this woman, and she's topless. Like I don't see her breasts, but like she's pretty obviously topless.
Yeah.
And I realize, oh, those two must have been here doing naughty things or whatever. And that's cool. This is like Europe. Whatever. They're free here. They're able to do other things.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, like, walk away. And
yeah.
You know me, Alana. Like, I have my camera with me. And so I'm like, I just don't.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, I'm just, like, not going to be creepy. And I'm just going to walk away and, like, explore somewhere else. And so I decided to, instead of, like, walking along the beach, I'm going to go walk up alongside the cliffside. And so I'm above it all. And there's this point that is right up to the top of the beach, the very tip top of the beach. And there's this point that you can stand and you can kind of see over.
Look over, yeah.
And to my right, I see the woman, and that's fine. And I'm taking pictures of the island, but I'm doing my best not to look like I'm taking pictures of her. And then I look over to my left, and I see more people on another adjacent beach. And I'm like, that's so weird. And the closer I, like, look at these people, the more I realize, like, they're all naked. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm standing on this, like, thing, like, on this point, with my camera in hand at what I think is a nude beach. Like, these people must think I'm a pervert. And that's why, like, I'm getting, like, these weird looks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so I'm, like mortified, and I, like, get off of the point. And I'm standing, and I just walk away. And when I'm kind of like a distance away, I see that somebody else had taken over, like a random, like, hiker had like taken over the spot that I was at. And he literally brought out a pair of binoculars. And I was like, people thought I was a pervert. People thought I was a freaking pervert.
Yeah, just taking pictures of their nakedness.
Yeah. And so little did I know. So I go back to my car and I'm just, I look at my phone and I'm trying to figure out what else is going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like what else is in the area. And I realized, like a few kilometers down the way, there's a point of interest called Playa del Nudista. it's a nude beach, like that's the main nude beach. And I am just wandering around thinking like, wow, I'm checking out the nature here, like here's my camera.
Yeah. Here's Spain. Here's this new here I come world. Oh my god, Francis. So wait, what were the ruins called though that you saw? Like, were they ruins de nudista? Like,
these are so the weird. Nude beach
ruins. Nude beach ruins. The first nudists came here and they like trashed the place and then they
So it was like just like a small little like from my what I remember of the description, the houses were just like three different houses. They had like a refuse pile, and I think it was just like a place where people lived, and yeah, and people just are now nude around them.
So weird.
Right, so after my trip to the nude beach, I had a destination in mind. I wanted to go see the highest point in Gran Canaria, which was the Pico de las Nieves. I'm pretty sure I'm not saying that right, but it's the highest point in the whole island. And, you know, I thought it'd be really cool to go see. You know me, I love going on top of the tall buildings and shit and getting pictures of the scenery.
Going on roofs. Yeah.
So I go, and it's up this mountain. And you know the thing about mountains here in the U.S. is that mostly they're on like two lane roads. And so what's kind of scary about going up this particular mountain is that there's no line that says this is the left lane and this is the right lane. Like at their certain elevation, it just becomes one lane, which is barely big enough to fit two cars. And you're winding up this mountain, and sometimes the curves are just so tight that it feels like if another car were to come by, you would be pushed off the mountain. Like you would just crash and you would die.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was terrifying, and I had another flashback of like if I fell off this mountain and died in Spain, who's gonna find me and know who I am? But I kept pushing on.
Yeah.
And honestly though, like I got to a certain point in the mountain where the scenery kind of changed and it went from just kind of rocky and desolate to like this really crazy like temperate zone, and trees were growing, and I step out of the car and wow, like the scenery is just so beautiful and it was fantastic. And I thought to myself, like, yeah, that trip up this scary mountain was worth it. And then I circle around and I go down back down, and for some reason there were more cars driving and winding around going up the mountain going down the mountain than when I was going up the mountain. And that was actually a lot of stress. That was.
How did you get around? What did you do? Were you able to? Was there a way of like getting around people? Oh my god! What did you do then? You see.
Kind of just like stop. I stopped. Like maybe like actual Spaniards doing this, they wouldn't stop. But I like stopped when I saw somebody was rounding the corner, was about to round the corner, and I just like didn't even attempt it. Because, like, if I... One wrong turn and you're off the mountain.
Yeah. Wait, so how did you get around these people? Or did they just go, oh, okay, I'm just gonna reverse. Are you serious? They just were like, sorry, okay.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was kind of terrifying. Like, if something happens and you did one wrong thing.
Like, kind of amazing that here's this mountain where it's like, if you run into someone, someone just has to like back up.
And the thing is, like, it's obviously a tourist attraction because once you get to a certain point, it has signs of like, oh, this is what this hiking trail is about, and you know, like, if you want to do this hike, you can go this way. You know, like, people obviously go here to do things, and the fact that this mountain is so treacherous, it's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing trip. Wow. How do you feel about all that?
Spain was really good. I mean, I had to get over myself after the first few days, you know, like, trying to adjust. But after I had the chance to kind of explore on my own terms, it was an adventure. Like, I'm excited for you to go to Japan and us have a radio show about this, the experience.
And just by the way, folks, we do have more content, for this trip. Obviously, France had a great time, and so we're gonna make this a two-parter. So feel free to tune in to the second part of this episode. But in the meantime, if you want to tune into our episodes on the regular, we post once every other week. That's once every 2 weeks. And in case you didn't know,
that's really, bi-weekly. That's twice a month.
That's 14 days apart. Is it?
Yeah.
I like how I have to reassure myself of how time works. But yeah, you can find us on Google Play.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts.
And Instagram. We're on huaf.productions.
And on Anchor. I mean, if you're not already listening to us on Anchor, then I don't know what you're listening to us on.
Maybe Google Play?
Sorry, I was trying to rep Anchor, but...
Yeah, great. Anchor's such a platform I love a lot. It's really good and easy to use, and I have no complaints about it.
And that's our show, folks.
So, until next time, the best ship to sail on is friendship.
That's it for our show, folks. I'm Francis.
And I'm Alana. And you can find us on Instagram at huaf.productions. We post every other week.
And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
And until next time,
the best ship to sail on is friendship.